Hey bosses, just wanted to quickly tell you about our sponsor, Masterworks.io. Do you know that between the years 2000 and 2018, art has outperformed the S&P 500? Masterworks.io makes trading art as easy as trading stocks. We'll tell you more about them during the break.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey bosses, this is Johnny FD and welcome to episode 157 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Here with Sam Marks. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Johnny. How you doing, buddy? How you doing, bosses out there? Hope everyone's having a great end of the summer and beautiful entry into the fall of this wonderful year, 2020.
Speaking of which, Sam is getting busy. So that's why we bring Derek on the show.
Well, the truth is actually that we have more episodes now lined up than ever. We just need more bandwidth, because I think format wise, most episodes for most podcasts is kind of one-on-one with an intro and an outro. That's just a standard buffer, right? But for ours, we're actually recording sometimes three episodes in one, right? We have the main interview, we have the intro and outro, which is a separate time slot interview, mm-hmm. scheduled interview. And then also we're bringing Derek on to do commentary and statistics. So we're basically at like four scheduled calls to produce one episode. And hopefully that's valuable to all the listeners and it's good content, but it does take quite a bit of time. So our solution to this was, you know, we brought Derek on basically at the beginning of the year, thanks to all the patrons to help with scheduling and to help with producing these episodes. And we saw some talent with Derek, right? Like Derek's great. Not only on that side of in the operations side, but also just with content and interviews and everything like that. So we've pushed Derek to come on and start hosting some interviews himself. And that's kind of the point we wanted to give everyone on this episode, a little bit more of a background to an introduction to Derek.
Yeah. And also I think it'll be interesting because a lot of people are listen to this podcast in different kind of timelines with your investment journey. Some of you have, sold a company or have, made a lot of money through your businesses or your employment, and you're closer to the Sam Marks network, net worth, and you're doing those kind of deals. A lot of you are kind of where I'm at, kind of, in late 30s, you have some money, but not enough to ball out, not millionaire status yet. And I think there's also a lot of people who are kind of closer to where Derek is, had a lot of debt, managed to pay it off, but you kind of just starting out your investment journey. So I think it's going to be interesting to hear from, different hosts at different levels, someone who has a net worth of, for anywhere between, negative and the debt category to 250 grand to, someone, from 250 to a million, and then someone 1 million plus, and to really be able to understand and, the mindset of not only how they invest now, but how they got there.
Yeah. And how about you forgot to put me into the 100 million plus asset class, okay. Johnny.
Yeah.
You're trying to pigeonhole me into the million. Come on, man.
Sorry guys. Between one and 100 million.
Coming soon. Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, it's all about the journey and trying to relate to as many people that are on this journey as possible. And at a personal desires, I want to see this scale. I want the content to scale. I want the topics, the asset classes that we cover to scale. Because even at 150 episodes, there is still a target list that we have that's like over 200 episodes long, topics, all types of different asset classes, venture capital, venture debt, private equity. Like the list is literally infinite. And then when you start talking about strategies, how people have basically become a billionaire of a single asset class by just mastering that asset class, and getting them to come on and share these strategies. And there's just unlimited content that we can cover. And so I just want to see us be able to achieve scale with this content. And Derek's been already super helpful this year. And if we can get people to come on and start also hosting or co-hosting interviews, we're going to be able to scale this even quicker.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Sam and I have our own schedules and things that we're doing too. And it's just become a lot of work doing three or sometimes even four episodes per month. But I know a lot of you listeners prefer it and you like it. And you were, you know, a bit sad and disappointed when we had announced earlier this year that we might scale down to just one or two episodes. And that's where the Patreon came in, to be able to hire Derek to basically produce and schedule these shows. But now he's done such a good job, but we have three or four episodes every single month and we just can't handle it anymore. So that's, you know, thanks to the Patreons. Thanks to all of you for supporting the show, making this happen. You pay 100% of Derek's salary. So he's as much yours as he is as ours. And if you want to support the show and see it grow, just go to investlikeaboss.com, click on support the show, click on Patreon, sign up for as low as $5 a month, and you'll get access to exclusive content like our quarterly updates that are in video format where Sam opens up his dashboards. And we also, you know, give you early access to episodes. We let you know who is coming on so you can ask your questions and a bunch of other benefits. Just check it out.
Definitely. So, Johnny, what are you going to talk to Derek about on this episode, on this introductory episode?
You know what? It's actually going to be my first time really having a proper conversation with him. So there's a lot I want to know. He seems like a really cool guy and he's done great work, but I want to know everything. I want to know what he invests in. I want to know what his background is, how he, and you know, how he basically started making money to invest. And a big question that from our Patreon groups are things like, why do you still live in California? Why do you like?
Great question. California's great.
Yeah.
There's such a split in our network of people that love California. People are like, why the hell are you living in California? Because just totally depends on how important finance is to you, how important lifestyle is to you, how important, you know, all these different things, but it always makes for good conversation. So it'd be great to hear Derek's opinion as well.
All right, let's bring on Derek to the show.
Did you know that only 1% of day traders actually turn a profit? So why are so many of us mistakenly picking stocks for serious investing? You can't control the markets, but you can control your risks. So how do billionaire investors control their risk? They invest in blue chip art. If that sounds unusual to you, you're not alone. But the ultra wealthy have been investing in art for centuries. And from 2000 to 2018, art has outperformed the S&P by an incredible 180%. Just a few years ago, a single work sold for $450 million. Imagine being able to invest in the very same paintings as millionaires and billionaires at a fraction of the cost. Masterworks.io is an exclusive platform that makes it easy as trading stocks online. And the best part is, you don't need to know anything about art. Their experts will create a custom portfolio to meet your investment needs. With Masterworks.io, you don't have to choose between big risks and big returns. Sign up today and go to Masterworks.io, select podcast, and use code BOSS to skip the 70,000 person waiting list to get first dibs. Hurry, this offer expires soon. See important disclaimer at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
All right, Derek, welcome to the show. Really excited to have you on.
Thanks, Johnny. I'm excited too. Kind of used to more of the behind the scenes stuff, so this should be fun.
Yeah. All right. So for those who recognize Derek's voice, he has been helping with the show for the last couple of months now. When did you join the team?
It was like the same week that the US kind of went into lockdown. It was like the end of March, somewhere around there. So it's been,
wow,
I guess, almost 6 months. This year's kind of crazy, been flying by.
Yeah. And it's actually perfect timing. If I gave you something to do during that time as well, you have a really cool home setup, this nice podcast studio setup. So excited to dive in kind of deeper on why you have all this stuff and a little bit more about you. Because even though we've been emailing back and forth, this is really one of our first times besides on like some group onboarding calls with sponsors that we actually spoke.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I know Sam and I speak probably a little bit more than you and I, Johnny, but I guess we haven't really had the time to just kind of get to know each other a little bit more.
Yeah, so this is exciting. Derek started as basically just helping out, you know, as kind of an assistant to get more shows going. But I think now you've graduated, this is your official promotion. I think we should give you a better title. I think podcast producer. I think you're officially Invest Like a Boss producer now.
Ooh, I kind of like the ring to that.
Yeah. And for those who have been following the show for a while, Sam and I have both been getting busier, more Sam than I. And he basically he said, Johnny, like, I just don't have time to schedule all these interviews, get show sponsors, do the intro outros, and, you know, and just kind of juggle all the production sides of producing a podcast. And Sam wanted to just start doing one show a month. And that's when the Patreon idea came about. We thought, you know what? Neither Sam or I had the time or the energy to run another full-time podcast. So let's hire someone. And that, you know, that was sponsored basically by Patreon. So all of you guys who have been supporting the show this whole time, you know, even as low as $5 a month, thank you so much, because of you, we're able to hire Derek, and he's been able to schedule, you know, 3 or even sometimes 4 guests per month and make sure we're producing shows like we were before.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. The Patreon community has really been growing, and it's really neat seeing the feedback that people have in there, and everybody kind of brings their own stuff to the table. So it's a really cool community. And I think we, on our end, Johnny, Sam, and I have kind of figured out a little bit better of how to take care of the Patreons, and we got some cool stuff coming up too. So, I mean, everyone that's been joining, I feel like they felt like they've got their money's worth. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, especially because one of the things that we started doing, which was honestly a bit controversial in the beginning, some people were unhappy about it, but I think people at the end of the day, people were happier we did it, is Sam and I decided to move the quarterly updates to Patreon only, but that allowed us to put it in video format and allowed Sam to be more comfortable sharing his exact numbers and logging into some of his dashboards. So the people who are paying $5 a month, now they get this exclusive content, and Sam feels a bit more comfortable knowing it's a smaller group of people and not just, you know, publicly on the internet to, you know, any Yahoo listening. Sorry to tell Yahoo's definitely listening.
Definitely. And I was a little curious about, you know, what Sam's got cooking back there. I think he didn't even tell you, Johnny. So, you know, a couple of his screenshots he'd throw up, like, wait a minute, let me zoom in here quick.
Yeah. So before we dive into like your investing journey, kind of just like a little bit more about your background. Like, how old are you? Where are you living? Like, where'd you grow up?
Sure. I think Sam and I are the same age. I'm 35 years old. I don't feel like I'm 35 though, which I guess is a good thing. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is, you know, not the most popular place to say where you grew up these days. But I was actually just out there last week. Still a lot of craziness going on out there, but hopefully, you know, things change and everything gets better soon. I went to the University of Minnesota, graduated with a film degree. My parents said, you know, what the hell are you going to do with that? You're just going to be a server your whole life. And, in Minnesota, obviously the film industry isn't very big. So right after college, right at the end of it, I got offered an internship at a radio station. And I was like, well, this is somewhat related. So I think within 2 weeks, they said they fired all the other interns, and I got called in the office, and I thought I was, you know, oh, I guess I'm getting fired now too. And they actually said, we want to pay you for this. Is that something you'd be interested in? And I was like, of course, this is great. I knew the second I got in there that this is something that I wanted to do. So I ended up a few months later, actually ended up full-time at that same radio station, which was really cool. And then I think I was there about three years, something like that. And I got offered another radio job in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What was that, the name of the first station?
KQRS. It was a classic rock station. We also had a hard rock station called 93X. So KQRS and 93X in Minneapolis.
KQRS, classic rock, yeah. For the ages.
92 KQ.
Oh, I like it. One of my best friends was actually on the radio in, oh no, it wasn't Minneapolis, it was in Indiana on like Hot 97.
Okay. Oh, DJ, I think Sonic. I actually know that station, honestly. Yeah. The radio community is so small, all the guys move around so much, so
DJ Sonic, Hot 97.
You gotta say it like that, DJ Sonic. Then I got offered a job at a station in Milwaukee, a really cool alternative station, WLUM FM 102.1. Had fun out there. Wasn't a big fan of Milwaukee, I'll be honest with you. Just wasn't my thing. I found every weekend I was either going down to Chicago, which was an hour drive away, or I'd drive back to Minneapolis, which was about 5 hours. So
okay,
it's a pretty bad sign when you don't want to stay in the city you're living in every weekend. So I stayed there just under a year because I actually got a job back in Minneapolis at what at the time was like my dream radio job. And that was for 101.3 KDWB. That is the pop station there. It's like basically the number one station in there. So stayed there about 4 years, got to meet like every pop star on the planet that ever came through town. You know, we did our Jingle Ball concerts, star parties, like huge concerts with, you know, the biggest names on the radio. Had a lot of fun, crazy.
So some of the artists as well, like who are some of the artists you met?
Like Miley Cyrus, Ellie Goulding, One Direction. When One Direction was like the thing, there was like 40,000 screaming people.
Wow.
At them. I mean, literally anyone, you name it, like Pharrell, Snoop Dogg would come through. Just anybody that was in town, you know, we had him come in.
Okay, nice.
It was pretty crazy. It was kind of surreal. After a while, you're like, oh, I gotta go film this thing with name whatever pop star. Sometimes you gotta check yourself and go, this is something that, you know, someone would definitely love to be in your shoes and do this. So
yeah.
But after 100%. After like 4 years, it kind of got to be monotonous, you know, the same things coming up every year. And I just wanted to do something different. And I always wanted to live in Los Angeles. So I actually gave my radio station like a 4 month notice. And I said, here's the deal. At the end of the summer, I'm moving to Los Angeles. And I just want to let you guys know, I want you to be prepared for everything. And I don't think they really believed that I was going to do it. They actually offered me a raise to stay. And I said, no, you know, this is just something I have to do. It was really strange. Something in my head just told me I had to do. And I like to follow my gut. And it was right. It was probably about 6 months before I turned 30. I was like, I just got to get out there now. Otherwise, I'll never do it. Mm-hmm. And then I actually left that job and went to Los Angeles with no job at all. So wow. I had this this really kind of cool, amazing job that I had, you know, people from our I worked for iHeartRadio or Clear Channel at the time. I had like really high up people calling me going, you're crazy. You have like an amazing opportunity. What, you're just throwing away your career. But to me, it wasn't throwing away my career. I just wanted to try something new. So moved out to Los Angeles. And then within, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, I got offered a job at iHeartRadio and I actually turned that down. So
okay.
I was like, you know what? I moved to Los Angeles to try something new. So, you know, I don't want to do the same thing I was doing back in Minnesota. So, and then I interviewed with a music management company and I actually ended up getting a job there. So I kind of went from the being on the radio side to managing music artists. And they happened to hire me on for the band Live. I'm not sure if you remember them. They were really big in the 90s.
Okay.
They were recording a new album and they wanted me to help out release with that. And then also we managed the Dixie Chicks. We had Paulina Rubio. She's really big in Mexico. Who else? Oh, Clay Aiken, if you remember him.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then Haley Reinhart later on, we managed her. And then some smaller acts. And it was really cool. It was really interesting. And about 2015, 2016, the Dixie Chicks got back together. They hadn't done anything for about 10 years. We did a huge, huge tour of the world. We sold over 1 million tickets. It was the second highest grossing country tour of the year. Lots of money. Lots of money for the owner of my company, I should say. So he actually made enough that he decided in 2018, at the beginning of 2018, that he was going to retire.
Nice.
So that meant he was going to close the company, though. And I kind of had another one of those kind of moments when I moved to LA, where I got offered a couple other jobs at some management places. And I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this anymore either. So, I decided to take some time off and travel. I'd saved up a lot of money, at least, you know, a good amount of money where I could be comfortable for a few months. Mm-hmm. And I never was able to take enough time to travel more than a few days at a time without getting bombarded with emails or where's this, where's that. And I could never relax. So, I said, you know what? I'm just going to take some time off. And I did. And I went to Europe. I went to like 7 countries in Europe for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. Did a few other trips through the US, places I'd never been. And just basically took about 2 to 3 months just to mostly travel. And I had this, you know, this thought in my head that, oh, when I'm back from this trip, I'm going to know exactly what I want to do and where I want to go and life will be great. So went on this trip and still didn't know what I wanted to do. So, but I had a good job by any means, you know, I had a solid salary living in Los Angeles, you know, a nice apartment, just kind of, but nothing great, nothing amazing, just getting by. And I had actually, gained some debt. I had some credit card debt and things. Mm-hmm. And I had two cars for some stupid reason. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm a car guy.
As you do,
motorcycle.
What cars and motorcycles did you have?
I had a BMW 3 Series, like a coupe.
Nice.
And then I had a second car, a little SUV that I had rented just for work purposes. And then I also had a custom cafe racer motorcycle.
Oh, very cool.
It was cool, except it broke every three times you rode it. So it was a cheap hit. But it definitely got attention when you rode it. So I actually just recently sold that. So I've been taking on the Johnny mantra lately. Get rid of all your stuff.
You know what? When I lived in LA, I lived near Hancock Park. I had three cars at one time.
It's a nice area.
Yeah. I had a Lexus LS 400, the big sedan.
Nice ride. Yeah.
I had a Porsche Boxer and I had a Miata at the time.
I almost bought a Porsche Cayman recently and I was like, this is probably not a good idea.
They're awesome cars. And here's the hard thing is when you live in LA, you feel like you should own a Porsche.
It's such a car culture and people graduating from college the day after they graduate, they're leasing Mercedes and BMWs. It's crazy. I mean, there's a normal car here is a Mercedes or BMW or Audi.
Yeah.
It's really wild. There's no other place in the U.S. I've ever seen like that.
Yeah, like a cheap car is like the entry level, you know, like it's like CE300 or the CLS or something, CLA.
Sure, when they should be driving a Ford or a Chevy, but they scoff at that idea. Why would I ever drive something like that?
Yeah, and it's also not abnormal to have two cars. Like when you said you had two cars, I think for a lot of people, especially you know those outside of the U.S. or those from maybe other cities, they might be thinking, wow, why does this guy have two cars? But in LA, it's so normal to have your daily driver and then you have your kind of weekend car or whatever it is.
Exactly. I was like, one, I'm going to, is my fun sports car. And the other one, I'll go hiking with, get it all dirty and who cares? So it's kind of a waste, but I mean, it's just kind of the way of life around here. So anyways, after, you know, I got laid off and, I was actually paid as an independent contractor during that whole job. So I didn't qualify for unemployment. So I was like, wow, I really got to figure out what I'm doing here. And I had started working a bunch of gig jobs. Like I was doing Instacart, which is like grocery shopping. Do you know what the Bird scooters are and things like that?
Are you a Bird charger?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I live in probably the busiest tourist area in Los Angeles. And I figured, these things are laying around all over. It's like money laying in the street. So,
yeah. How much do you get to charge one bird scooter?
So it used to be good, kind of like you know when everybody drove Uber and they're going, I'm making $600 a day. Yeah. So when it started, it was great. You know, it'd be like $7-$8 a scooter, and if I could grab 20-30 scooters in a few hours, I could make $200-$300. So
yeah,
and for those eventually gone down.
Yeah, for those who don't know what a bird scooter is, they're very lightweight. They're like those little Razor scooters that kids drive around. But now they're
a little heavier, but pretty much. Yeah, they'll go about 20 miles an hour. And people just dump them everywhere. So that was a problem. But we had thousands of them in Venice Beach. I could literally walk within two blocks of my place and pass 200 of them.
So you did. So for those who don't understand the way this works, it almost seems like very ridiculous if you don't live in a big city in the U.S.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, and it is ridiculous.
So basically, overnight, without anyone's permission, these companies just dropped thousands of these scooters around with a QR code and said, scan me, download the app, pay X amount per ride. And then at night, when they were out of batteries or they were low on batteries, they would have random gig workers, anyone like Derek who wanted to make some extra money, pick these up, take them home, charge them, and then put them back in the morning, and they would pay you, before it was $7 or $8 per scooter. And how many can you pick up in a night and charge?
So I think the most I ever charge at one, I live in a 400 square foot studio apartment. I think the most I ever could charge at one time in my apartment without the fuse blowing was, I think it was like 44 scooters I could fit in my
apartment. Wow. And did your electricity bill like skyrocket that month or?
I thought it'd be crazy. I was dreading the bill coming. And it was maybe three or four times my normal bill. It wasn't terrible. I mean, considering, you know, I was like this, all the scooters I could charge in one night paid for 2 months' bills. So.
Yeah. How much was your electricity bill that month?
I want to say like a normal bill. It's every other month here where I live. So it's a bi-monthly bill or every 2 months. It's usually about $30. And I think it was like low between 100 and 150. It wasn't outrageous at all.
Yeah. And you were pulling in how much per month just charging the scooters?
Oh, at its peak when it was really hot, I could bring in probably $6,000 to $8,000 a month just on
scooters. Oh my God. That's insane.
It was a good gig. I miss it.
People listening to this are trying to imagine what this looks like. I hope you have some photos you can put in the show notes.
I do have some photos. I'll dig through my phone and I'll get some. I have a really funny video. I mean, that kind of went viral for a second. It was like you couldn't even walk in my apartment. So,
is there a name for bird chargers? Like people?
Yeah,
like
I think it was bird chargers, and then Lime is another company that's kind of the same thing. They called those juicers, like your juicing.
Oh,
Lime.
Nice. Okay.
What else? A couple other companies that we're out to. Now there's these new one called Wheels, which is kind of my newest hustle. These are like bikes that you can actually sit on. They're electric bikes and they have removable batteries. So the company actually hires someone to swap out the batteries at night. They just want to make sure that their bikes are in a certain spot. Okay. So all I have to do is just walk them down the block to a certain spot that they want.
Wow.
And then I don't even have to bring them in my apartment anymore. I'm like, this is great. So those only pay $3 or $4 each, but I don't have to do any of the work. So all I have to do is move them to certain spots on the street. And there's only like a 1 hour window you can do it. And it's usually between like 10 PM and 11 PM, but I can make anywhere from usually $75 to like $150 in an hour. So
yeah. And you're just getting some like a nice walk at night. You can listen to podcasts.
I just walk through my neighborhood. Yeah. I can catch up on my iLab episodes.
This is crazy.
But basically my life has been in the last 2 years is so ridiculous. The stories I can tell at parties aren't as cool as like hanging out with celebrities and stuff, but I hustle, man. I mean, I love it and it gets addicting. And I do a ton of different hustles, and then I've just been saving as much as I can. I've also opened up like a side business where, so I had a lot of Instacart people that weren't happy with kind of the service of Instacart because it's very inconsistent when you hire gig workers, like Instacart does.
So Instacart, for those who don't know, it's basically an app that lets you send someone to go buy your groceries and deliver to your house.
Right. And so it's all facilitated through an app. You can pick, you can shop your whole list on their app and someone will pick up the order, go shop it for you and then bring it to your door.
So I've only used it once. And ironically, it was at the Invest Like a Boss meetup at the Pure Street headquarters in Redondo Beach.
Sure.
And we were all, there and we were busy that day and we were like, crap, we need ice. And we didn't want to send someone, to go drive to the supermarket, pick up ice, come back and like miss, an hour of the event. And that's when I had the brilliant idea. I was like, oh, I heard rich people send other people to go pick up their groceries.
It's all about time. Remember Bill Perkins says it's all about
time. Yeah. So I downloaded Instacart, made an account, I had my first, my first delivery was free. So I didn't have to pay the crazy fee. And I ordered like 50 pounds of ice or 40 pounds of ice or something. And I ordered it from Whole Foods, ironically.
$20 a bag of ice.
I don't even know why I chose Whole Foods. I think it was just the closest place or something. And
sure.
The shopper was such an idiot. They were like, what's at me? And they're like, what flavor do you want? And I'm like, what?
Like, what?
And they're like, vanilla, chocolate chip, strawberry. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like busy, so I'm not ready. I'm not responding to them.
Yeah.
Because like I'm just on stage. Give me my ice. And then they reply 5 minutes later saying like LOL emoji, you know, you wanted clear ice, not ice cream. I'm like, who's buying 40 pounds? Like if they showed up with 40 pounds of ice cream, like 20 kilos of ice cream, I'd be pissed.
That would have been crazy. Yeah. So I found out common sense is not a very common feature of a lot of Instacart shoppers. No offense to them out there. So I've had clients that really liked me shopping for them and they've just asked me to shop for them personally. And of course, nice. I kind of, right when the pandemic kind of broke out, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I can do that. And I just figured out a rate. I figured out I could charge a rate less than Instacart and still make more money than I would shopping for Instacart.
Why wouldn't you just charge them the same amount? Because they're used to paying that.
That's true. You know why? I think because I have a heart, Johnny. No, because no. It was when the pandemic kind of broke out, there was some of these people, you know, like I had one client, her husband had stage 4 cancer and, you know, he couldn't, you know, dare catch coronavirus. And I just didn't want to feel like I was ripping people off, I still wanted to make enough where I felt like I was making money. And then obviously, I encourage people to tip on top of that, which they all do, or I probably will not shop for them again.
Makes sense. Okay.
But, I have clients that will spend, I have one client in particular that lives in a $12 million house in, a very rich area of Los Angeles. And they spend like $1,000 a week just in groceries for their family. It's wild. So it's a whole nother level of money. And I, you know, they take care of me and it's a really cool gig. But I kind of feel, this is what I wanted to actually ask you if we could turn it around a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm making really good money. I'm making over 6 figures for sure.
Nice.
A year. And I feel like I'm stuck to Los Angeles though. So I love you guys talking about location arbitrage and doing all that. And I'm like, man, that'd be great. But I think less than 10% of my income is remote. If not even 5%.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like to try to transition and figure out how to do that.
The Bird scooters at Chiang Mai are not paying you the $3 a piece to walk around, and like the grocery delivery is free.
It's five Thai baht. Yeah.
So yeah, you know that's actually a really interesting topic that you bring up. Is a lot of people in the U.S. are kind of stuck there, this kind of weird zone where they're making so much money. But I'm assuming your expenses are also very high. Like how much are you spending per month?
Actually right now I'm at about a 50% savings rate, which is great.
Yeah. But, for California, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm working 7 days a week too. So
yeah,
I'm kind of a workaholic. So
yeah. So that's how, you know, that's kind of the I don't know, the bird or the hard place or, however they call it, it's
rocking hard place.
Yeah,
if you the bird, a bird in a hand, or
yeah something like that.
However that goes.
But if you move out somewhere cheaper, there's no way you're gonna make that same amount of money locally. You'd have to do it remotely, and
right,
you know that's where all the kind of online entrepreneurship comes in, but also the investment income comes in. Because if you're making $1,000 a month from your investments living in Los Angeles, that doesn't go anywhere. I mean, that's basically
exactly
some
that
bills.
Doesn't even pay half my rent. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but if you're getting $1,000 a month completely passively from investment income and living in Chiang Mai or living in Sri Lanka or living in lots of parts of, you know, Eastern Europe or, you know, even like Spain, that might pay all your bills, including your rent and your food going out.
That's wild. Yeah. That's, I think that was kind of the whole point lately when I've really kind of kicked the hustle up is I'm investing super heavy and I want to have that kind of, income while you sleep coming in. And I think that's the goal. Although, we'll get to it later when we talk about Patreon questions, but I mean, I also really like Los Angeles. So it's not that I wouldn't want to leave. It's just that it's not as bad as everyone thinks it is here. It's expensive, but LA is a great town, at least for me.
Yeah. And especially because you've set it up right. I mean, you're living in Venice Beach. You're kind of, you know, doing what you like doing. You know, you probably don't have to commute every day. And it's, you know, that's a cool life. Like if I lived back in California, I would either live in San Diego near the beach or I live in Venice. And
yeah, and I should explain, I guess. I mean, a lot of people, Americans probably know what Venice Beach is, but it's kind of like, it's a wild little pocket of LA where I live 40 steps away from Muscle Beach, which is where Arnold Schwarzenegger trained for Mr. Universe. And it's just a weird kind of culture of people. And it's like a carnival on the beach. It's really wild. It's like a spectacle that it's something you have to see. And it's not like any other part of LA. It's really cool. We also, you know, it has its fair share of issues though. There's a lot of homeless people, a lot of kind of grimy dirtiness, but I also kind of, I was thinking that part's kind of cool too. So this is the longest I've ever lived in one spot. I've been here about 5 years now. So I think there's something I like about it.
Yeah. And I can see why. I mean, I used to drive from Orange County in my Miata with my conga drum in the back, every weekend to go the Venice Beach drum circle and just,
Every Sunday, it's still going on. It's fun.
Yeah. Smoke a bunch of weed, play drums for 3 hours and then have some Mexican food.
Yeah. If you live in Venice, you just have a 24 hour contact guy. It's just weed, skateboards and surfboards. Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, I think you have done America right, like the way that you're living. For most people, they're either just not happy day to day, so they're just kind of waiting for a vacation or waiting to go to the beach. Like, you know, I have friends that live in Orange County who haven't, you know, they only go to the beach once a year just because of the traffic. And
yeah, that's crazy.
It's like, what's the point of living, you know, 10 miles away from the beach if you're never gonna go?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's why I picked this place. I was like, you know what, I can just walk right out there. And to be honest with you, when it is right there, you don't go as much as you think you will, but I still have the option. You know, I could pop out after this and just go sit on the beach. It's pretty nice to have.
You should. I mean, like, I mean, and honestly, like that's part of the routine. Like if you're not doing that, if you're not going to the beach at least a few times a week, then there's no point of being there, you know? So,
right. I'm a big runner. So I like to run. I go run on the beach at least a few times a week. So that's kind of my outlet.
So I would suggest just keep doing what you're doing as long as you're happy, you know, but make sure you continue that 50% savings rate, you continue investing that. And then the day that you're not happy, then you have the option to move and do something else.
Yeah. And I think that's why I got rid of, I don't own one thing with a title anymore. So my car I use is a rental. All I have to do is pay for gas for that. Anything breaks on it, they cover it. Insurance is covered. It's all just one, it's just put on the credit card every month. I don't even have to think about it. So I've kind of set my life up modeling after a little bit of what you guys do, because obviously I'm still kind of here in America. More you, Johnny, than Sam. Sam seems to be accumulating a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, he seems like he's doing the worst of both.
I'm just excited because I know it's going to set us up for some good lessons learned that he's going to tell us later down the line.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Sam. Thank you for that. So that's the first...
That's my favorite part about Sam.
Yeah, that's the first Patreon question is... where do you live and why not try location arbitrage? It sounds like you're setting up for it. Is there a city or a country that you would move to if you were to try this location arbitrage thing?
I really loved Eastern Europe when I went. I was in Budapest last year and it was awesome. It was so cool. I was in a Airbnb that was like $50 a night and it was huge. It was brand new and it was right next to the Capitol building or whatever it was. It was so cool, right next to the river. And I'm like, this is amazing. And every bar was a dollar drink and $6 to $7 for a nice, nice restaurant.
Yeah. Cool. Friendly people. Did you go to the sulfur baths too?
I did. They weren't what I thought they would. I thought they'd be hot. You know, you go in there like, yeah, it's like lukewarm.
No. You went to the wrong ones. Some of them are so
hot.
There's probably like 20 different baths.
Two, and both of them weren't that hot. Okay. Interesting.
So they have like indoor and outdoor ones and they have different temperatures and it goes from, you know, being lukewarm to being so scalding hot that I can't even sit in there. And I like hot water.
I definitely went to the wrong place then. Yeah. Okay.
So
it was still cool though. They were beautiful. Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend that place. Another question is, how did you get the job? How did you meet Johnny and Sam?
So you guys had just casually mentioned on an episode that, kind of like you said, I'm sure you and Sam had a little meet before, and then you just kind of casually brought it up on the episode that you know we might be looking for some help coming up soon. And I was, something in my head was just like, I got to email these guys. You know, I love this show. I think I I didn't find the show until I'm going to say late 2018. And I binged the crap out of it. And then every new episode that came out, I would listen. And I just heard you guys casually mention it. I just sent an email. I'm like, I got to find their email address. I went to the website, found the email address, and just casually sent an email. And then I think like a week later, like Sam's like, hey, this looks really good. You know, I'm going to give you a call. And it just kind of took off from there. So like I said, we've still never met in person. So just Zoom calls and phone calls and emails, and seems to work out though.
We look forward to it. So another question from the boss, Patreon is, any plans for a iLab meetup in 2021? So we definitely do need to make some kind of meetup.
I wanted to talk to you guys about this soon. We definitely have to.
So, I mean, right now with the travel crackdowns, it's pretty hard. But I think the open invitation is for anyone who's been a VIP Patreon for more than 3 months, anytime we're in a city, just message us. And if we're in the same city, we're happy to meet up for lunch. You know, I'm in Sri Lanka right now. Sam's kind of all over, you know, Sam's schedule is a little bit more busy, but he'll probably try to meet up. But for me, 100%. If you're ever in the same city and you've been a VIP Patreon supporting the show, lunch is on me. Just message me anytime. As far as a formal meetup, it's going to depend on if travel opens back up. But the way that we'll arrange it is, the next time Sam and I are in the same city, and hopefully Derek might be there as well,
I'm down for sure.
Yeah. We'll just announce it, you know, a few weeks or a month before. I don't know if we're going to make it Patreon exclusive, or we're going to make it for everyone open.
I was kind of thinking maybe we could figure out some kind of cool travel package for iLab people. But yeah, we obviously we have some time, but it's definitely going to be 2021 if we do anything. I don't see COVID going away, at least before the election in the US.
Yeah. But David Swarner also want to know, when does the iLab Tony Robbins interview happen?
Oh, no pressure at all. I'll just call Tony up. You know, we'll get him on. But
if you can get him on, I'll
that should
it.
Be a 2021 goal. Too. I'm gonna add Tony Robbins to my vision board. That's what
please,
I'm gonna do.
Please do.
If I can visualize it, it's gonna happen.
I have mentioned this a few times, but it was because of Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny conference that it allowed me to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and not having a home base, not having a house, and just having this uncertainty of just basically living, you know, from place to place.
Did you go to that before you moved to Thailand?
No. I went to it just a few years ago. So basically I was living in Thailand for like 8 years already, and I was done. Every year I was like, this is the last year. This is the last year I'm traveling. I need a home base. I need a house. And I started looking to, you know, see where I can buy a place, kind of like, you know, a la Sam, to keep my stuff, to just know I have a place somewhere, whether it's in Thailand, in Europe, or the US. And I went to Date with Destiny, and I realized, you know, over those 7 days, why I feel this need of having a place and having certainty in my life of, you know, of owning stuff. And after that, it really clarified for me. I was like, you know what? I'm okay not having a place. Like, I'm okay with knowing that wherever I am, I'm okay. And that's really given me such peace of mind. And it's ultimately ended up saving me so much money by not having 8 properties that I can't visit, or having to maintain, or, you know, the mental space of maintaining it, furnishing it, and taking care of it.
Yeah, you're crushing it right now, Johnny. Everyone's loving it. You're a YouTube star now. I'm gonna get a shirt made that says I'm big in Sri Lanka, and I'm gonna send it to you.
please do. Actually, somebody left a comment, like they spelled I think they wrote like, Johnny, you're famous in Sri Lanka. They completely spelled famous wrong.
Is that famous?
Famous, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's the shirt I'm going to make.
Nice.
So next question from Patreon as well is, what is the most impactful book you've read? What are the top 2 lessons learned?
Oh, this is the question I was dreading when I saw it, because as ashamed as I am to say it, I definitely don't read enough books, or really read books at all. I'm a busy guy. I mean, I'm all about the hustle and listen. And if it's audio, I think I'm going to get Die with Zero by Bill Perkins. If he has it on audio, I assume he does. I'm super hyperactive. If you haven't been able to tell by now, and I always got to be doing something, and I just can't look at a book and concentrate. I just can't do it. I know that's horrible to say, but it is the truth.
Yeah. It's okay. Cause, Once I started listening to audiobooks and podcasts, I just can't go back either. So,
right, I'm the same way. I love podcasts and things like that because I can do other things at the same time and still absorb at least enough of it, I think.
Yeah, and that's where Audible comes in. So,
shout out Audible.
A link to them. Go to investlikeaboss.com/audio, and you can get your free 30-day trial, and you get one or two credits, so you get a free book or two.
You know what? I'm going to do that right now. Good plug, yeah. Johnny.
There you go. So speaking of sponsors and plugs, basically the way that we pay Derek is through Patreon. So thank you guys so much for supporting the show.
Yes, thank you, patrons.
Yeah. I mean, basically all that money has gone to Derek. But what that's done is it's, you know, given Sam and I more free time, allowed us to kind of, you know, focus on the things that we are good at and we enjoy doing. But going forward, Derek's actually going to be taking on a bit more responsibility, and we're going to be doing a kind of a profit share with him for the show sponsors. So he's going to be interviewing some of the upcoming guests because Sam's getting busy. And, you know, I'm always happy to interview the strippers, the strip club owners, but I don't always have time, you know, either to interview everybody. So Derek's going to be doing some of that. And so, you know, kind of for all of you in the Patreon, if you guys haven't started supporting the show yet, go to investlikeaboss.com, click on Patreon or support the show, and you get all these you know, perks and bonuses from there. But one thing that people want to know is, where do you invest your money, Derek?
All right, let's get into that. You know, I got a little, I'm kind of a nerd with spreadsheets, so I make a little monthly spreadsheet as well. I think you guys do too. First of all, I guess my biggest investment is actually my retirement account. I do have an IRA account, mm-hmm. and I put money into that every single month. That's been growing nicely, not crazy amounts, but steady, and I'm happy with that. And that's actually the one investment that the person I have running it, I completely trust with my life. And that's one thing I just don't want to think about. And I look at the statements every month, and anything beyond that, I don't like to mess with it. I actually did mess with it last year. It was very conservative. It was set up very conservative with a lot of bonds. And I said, you know what, we need to make it more risky. And so I think last fall I had everything swapped over to a new account that definitely takes into account more index funds and quite a bit more risk. And it seems to be paying off, which I can't really tell though, because the market is weird right now. So yes. Maybe I just got lucky.
Speaking of paying off, how much, like what kind of fees is this account manager taking?
They're all less than 2%, which I know is high, but.
So Derek, when you realize, here's your lesson, okay? Realize you're not paying 2% fees, as in like $2 out of every $100. You're basically paying, they're basically taking $2 every time you earn $10.
Right.
Which means they're taking 2% of the whole pie, even though your investments might only be growing by 5 or 10% a year. If they're taking 2% of your total pie, that means you're paying them almost 20% of your investment gains, bro.
And it's definitely something I've wrestled with, if I should move it or not. And
Derek, like, tell this person, like, thank you so much, you know, for your service. And I'm glad I was able to put you in nice suits and send you on vacations, but it's time for me to start going on vacations as well. I'm moving my account to Vanguard, unmanaged index fund, and on, you know, just index funds, and just leave it. Just set it and forget it. You really don't need a manager.
I know. And I think in the last year I've gotten more confident that I don't need one. So I have, figured that out, I think, and that might be the move here.
Yeah, soon. And honestly, I don't even talk to them because they're gonna give you a bunch of excuses. They're gonna make you scared. Just pull it out. Like, seriously, like
just
like
a stern email, and I go, I want my money now. No questions asked.
Yeah, this is a formal cancellation of my account. Please, you know, please close the account effective immediately. You know, if you have any questions, call Johnny FD. I am serious, and for everyone listening, if you are in that same situation, I like, you guys know better. Come on. Like, we've had so many episodes about this.
I do.
Like,
yeah. You're right. Like, you're right.
You just got to do it, Derek.
I got
to pull. By the next time I speak to you, if you haven't pulled the plug, I'm going to smack you virtually.
You got a long arm from Sri Lanka.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
Next up is probably my individual stock account, which I enjoy the most and kind of something that I know the most about. I have a TD Ameritrade account. I do own quite a few individual stocks as well as index funds. Yes, I do own VTI, Johnny.
Okay.
And I did very well with that with COVID, and I am not complaining at all.
Very nice.
I did set kind of some stop buys, like I'm sure you did as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I want to say that's up like 30-40% since I bought it. So I'm not complaining there. I do own quite a few individual stocks. And I also, I'm really big into energy and utilities. I don't know why I'm kind of a nerd about utilities, because I always think, you know, you always got to pay the electric or gas bill. Like if there's if there's any bill that you're going to skip, it's not going to be one of those, because you want lights, you want heat.
Yep.
Those are always consistent, and they pay pretty fat dividends. So I like those. I do own the Vanguard fund in public utilities as well.
What kind of dividends?
Okay.
Yeah. What do they pay?
I want to say that's like a 4% dividend.
Okay.
It's not amazing, but it's pretty good. And it's a solid stock or solid ticker. That's a ticker VPU, Vanguard Public Utilities.
VPU.
Yes. a lot of oil stuff. I'm kind of betting big on oil and energy right now. I bought a ton in the dip.
Nice.
And they're still dipping. So
yeah.
We'll see where energy ends up. I was really enticed by our MLP episode the other day.
Are you looking at that?
Speaking of, my hypothesis, since Bill Perkins will not tell us what MLP he went into, my hypothesis is it's ET, energy transfer, but you know, don't take my word for it, but I kind of have a feeling it's that one, which I did bring up in the episode. And Stacy from Alarion did also bring that one up. It's actually up over a 20% dividend currently. So not saying to go buy it, but it's definitely worth checking it out. I have a feeling that could be his mysterious MLP.
Everybody go on the Invest Like a Boss Twitter at BP22 at Johnny FDK. And just hassle Bill Perkins. Be like, hey, buddy, we loved your episode on Invest Like a Boss. What MLP
did you invest in? He liked our tweet today. And then Johnny, I saw you hit him back, Johnny. I was like, we want to know, Bill. Come on, share the wealth. We want yachts too.
Yep. Speaking of yacht life, check my YouTube channel. By the time this airs, Johnny FD is on a yacht.
I saw the pics. I'm going to have to check out the video for sure. It looks pretty cool. That is not something I expected to see sitting in Sri Lanka.
it's the only yacht in Sri Lanka, and it's made in Sri Lanka, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thanks, Bill Perkin, for the inspiration, yachtspiration.
Yachtspiration. up next. Oh, this is a boring one. We'll get out of the way. I am, for whatever reason, I don't understand. I don't know if it was a mistake, because I did make money on it. I am still sitting on a good amount of cryptocurrency, but it's less than 5% of my portfolio.
Okay. That's fine.
I figure it's like, it is what it is. If it takes off, it takes off. If it doesn't, I'm not going to be sad if it goes away.
Yeah. Okay. So what percentage breakdown, like what percentage are you in stocks?
My stocks are my biggest one behind my IRA. So I'd say my stocks are probably about 30% of my portfolio.
Okay.
But there's index funds in there too. So I don't know it's not just all individual stocks.
Okay. What else do we have on there?
Next up, this is one I learned from you guys, which I was really happy with until COVID hit, Fundrise.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, a lot of people said they either pulled money out like you did, or they just stopped putting funds in Fundrise. And for some reason, I really liked their plan. They had a really good COVID plan they put out. They were really transparent with what was going on. And I still put money in every week. I'm honestly only up about 2% on the year, which I made more. I opened it in, I want to say like July 2019. My funds appreciated more in that, you know, four or five months than they have so far this year. And I have a lot more money in this year. So I'm a little bit, I'm not worried about it, but it's definitely not where I want it to be. So I'm kind of debating whether to keep putting money in there every week or not.
So back in March when COVID first hit and I kind of saw the, you know, the forecast of the real estate market going a bit crazy, I wrote in the Patreon group that I've submitted to Fundrise to close my account. And it took them a few months to close my positions, but they gave me back all my money, minus, I think it was 1%, maybe 1.5%. So not a big penalty, but I got all my money back out, you know, in time. So that's kind of another benefit of the Patreon group is that's where everyone feels very comfortable to start, you know, sharing very early on. I mean, you know, we'll let you know in the quarterly updates or it'll come up naturally in episodes, but
I think the day Johnny did it, he put it up. So that's definitely another benefit of Patreon for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry, still sitting in there making 2%, but you know, still better than, sitting in, actually, I don't know what's better than sitting in cash, but better than nothing.
Yeah, so I might actually stop my weekly distributions in there and move it somewhere else. Next up, my newest one. I was really impressed with Sally Outlaw, your interview with her, and I opened a Worthy Bonds account.
Nice. Very cool.
And speaking of access to these people, Sally Outlaw is actually now a member of the Boss Lounge. So if you're in the Boss Lounge and you're wondering about Worthy Bonds, Sally actually is answering questions very actively in there right now. So she's been really transparent and it's been really cool. And that's something really rare that I don't think very many other companies we would get. And it just kind of more impresses me with Worthy Bonds. And it makes me feel a bit more confident about them. And I got a few bucks in interest already. So it's kind of nice.
Nice, buddy. I hope you used my link.
I did. And I didn't get a free bond though, but you probably did. I'm wondering where my free bond is.
It should be coming. I don't know if they have like a minimum or something. Yeah. I'm sure there's a minimum or something.
Maybe I'll find out. I'm not too worried about it though. I'm really impressed with Worthy Bonds. That's my newest one. And I also, last is just a small little fun one. Cause like I said, I'm a car nerd. There's this company called Rally Road.
Okay.
Which, if anybody remembers the Masterworks episode, it works very similar to that. Masterworks is like fine paintings by artists. This is like classic cars.
Oh, nice.
So you can buy pieces in classic cars. I own pieces of like a Mustang. I own pieces of a couple Ferraris. So it's kind of cool that I can be like, you know, I own part of a Ferrari, a very small part of a Ferrari.
Okay.
And a couple of them have gone up. I also own the one that I knew for sure would go up. There's a first edition of Harry Potter, like the first book ever. There's only like 100 ever printed, and they got one of them, and I bought it. And it's up It's supposedly up 17%, but I don't know how to sell it. So
yeah,
that's something I wanted to get them on the show, and they still might possibly be a future guest, but I wanted to talk to them more about that. That's just fun money. But that's pretty much the breakdown of what I'm in right now.
Very cool. And then do you keep money in like a savings account, like a Marcus or a...
I do. I mean, the rates are so terrible on those right now. I actually just keep them in a local credit union here. But yeah, I have enough savings, you know, to live frugally for, you know, 3 to 6 months. I should probably have a little bit more in there.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And just to give everyone kind of an idea of where you're at kind of investment wise, how long ago did you start investing? Kind of where are you now?
So I always liked playing with stocks. I think the day I turned 21, I opened a stock account because for some reason you had to be 21 then. I'm not sure why. And that was just kind of for fun. But, you know, like I said, you know, I had credit card debt and I was spending stupidly. And I don't even know what I got for all of a sudden I would turn around and I have $10,000 in credit card debt. And I go, what do I own? I think it was a lot of going out and things like that. It just adds up. And, you know, I'll put it on the credit card, blah, blah, blah. So I really got serious about paying all that stuff off when I got laid off, like I said, about 2 years ago. So I've thankfully been debt free for the last 2 years. I don't owe anybody a cent. I could, like I said, I could move to Sri Lanka and move in with you tomorrow, Johnny. I don't owe anybody anything.
Nice.
Which is nice. But that will really hold you down, though. I will tell you, if anybody's sitting on debt, just work on that first. That's the biggest thing. I've never got anywhere when I had debt. It was just like, it sits there and you think about it and it bothers you and it creates negativity. Mm-hmm. I'm so much more positive now. I don't have to wake up and go, oh my God, I got to pay off that MasterCard or that Visa or whatever, or that I bought that $40,000 BMW. I don't have to worry about that. And that is such a weight off my shoulders. I think it's just so underrated to be debt free. It's huge.
Did you like follow a Dave Ramsey plan, or how did you pay that off?
So that's, I actually started the Instacart hustle while I was still working full time. So I just said, every night after work, I got my normal office job where I worked in music management. I go, every night after work, you're going to go work. And then every cent that you make off that Instacart, you're going to put towards your credit card. And that's just what I did. It was just like, I'm just going to do that until it's paid off. And thankfully I got paid off. And then that's when I found out I was getting laid off. So I go, you're telling me I'm debt free and now I'm getting laid off. But
perfect timing.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you got to get a side hustle, you got to get a side hustle. Don't let it rule your whole life where all you do is work. But at the same time, the debt will rule your whole life too. So
yeah,
I've definitely learned that. And I don't plan on ever having a penny in debt again, you know, unless I hopefully buy a house at some point.
Yeah. Okay. That could be the topic of another episode.
Yeah, definitely.
But
you can get a cardboard box for $1.2 million.
Yeah, it's expensive. But my cousin, Jacob Gent, who lives in LA, he's a real estate agent in kind of the Bay Area. He finally just paid off his credit card bills and got out of debt this month as well. So, and it's been weighing on him for like 7 years. So, you know, congrats to him. Congrats to you.
It was so stressful. Just get rid of it. Whatever you got to do, get rid of it. You don't need two cars. You don't need a motorcycle. You know, certain things. And I'm finally realized that. And I think it's all thanks to you guys. I'm learning a lot more every time. So I'm excited to kind of see where all this leads. And every day I see my net wealth getting bigger and I like that. So
nice. Have you been calculating kind of that 4% rule where like how much, like if you just left it, how much would you get passively per month now if you were somehow to, you know, not be able to work anymore and have to, you know, move to Sri Lanka?
I guess I haven't thought that far down the line. I'm kind of enjoying the ride as I go. It's something more that I guess I should do. How do you approach it, I guess?
So
if,
I mean,
if you walked away today.
Do
you? I guess I don't know. What is your concept here for this?
So the more accurate way to do it would be to actually calculate, you know, how much passive income you're actually getting. But for me, kind of the easiest way is to do that big 4% number. We had an episode about that. You guys can check it out. But let's say my net worth right now. Actually, I haven't looked at it recently, but I think it's around 800,000. It dipped a lot the last few months, and then it shot back up. So what I do is I just calculate what is 4% of that. That's $32,000 a year divided by 12. That means on average for the next, you know, 20 or 30 years before it runs out, I can pull out $2,666 a month and live off of that and not have to worry about it. And that might last me 20, 30 years. It might last for the rest of my life. So it's kind of a nice line item to add to your spreadsheet, just to kind of see what that number would be and how close
you are. I just did your math and it's not where I want it to be. It's very much not where I want it to be. I could maybe actually, from hearing how cheap you're living, I could maybe barely live in Sri Lanka. So,
oh wow.
I guess if I got desperate, I'm hopping on a flight to Sri Lanka.
Okay. Borders are closed. Sorry, Derek.
2021. Sri Lanka.
I'm coming. But Derek, it's been really fun kind of getting to know you, hearing about your investments. I think this is the start. This is kind of your 0 to 1 episode. Sam's was literally episode 1, Invest Like a Boss. Mine was episode 2. So if you want to hear our backstories, how we got started, listen to those. But this episode is yours, and hopefully we'll have another update, you know, in 6 months or a year, and you're going to be at a much higher number. So then we'll refer people back to episode 159, the Derek episode. No, 157.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. 157. All right. Yeah, I'm really excited. We got some awesome guests coming up. Not quite Tony Robbins, but I just added him to the list. So I'm going to hassle him as much as I can until they just have to say fine. So we'll get Tony Robbins on, I guarantee it.
Ooh. That is.
Not saying when, but we will.
Okay, just someday. One day before the end of iLab. We can't shut down the iLab. ILAB.
We'll crash podcast. A conference. We'll crash a conference with a microphone. We'll get them.
Okay. I like it. So big thanks to all of our Patreons for being part of the show. We have a lot of new ones. Rob Horson signed up. Fiotos Sata Samir Hightower, great name. And yeah, we have all these new Patreons. Thank you so much for signing up and supporting the show. Go to investlikeaboss.com. Click on support or Patreon. You can sign up there for as little as $5 a month. You're going to get exclusive content to our quarterly updates, as well as all of our buy and sell notifications, like when we close our fundraise account, as well as anything else we're investing in. You'll have early access to ask questions for future upcoming episodes. We Derek basically literally posts as soon as we get a guest confirmed, who's coming on, what the topic's about, so that you can say, Sally Outlaw, Worthy Bonds is coming on next week. You know, what are your questions for her? And you can ask them there. We'll make sure we get them on the show. And thanks for all the people.
And even suggest guests that we should have on too. We've had Patreon suggested guests on in the past as well. So we definitely take those suggestions seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is your inside access to the world of Invest Like a Boss, which is now three people strong. And Derek, please give us 4 months notice if you ever decide to leave.
Will do.
All right. Great having you on, buddy. And I look forward to hearing you interview some of these future guests.
Awesome. Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.